I'm going to get to the message and use. I haven't done this since 2006. I haven't stood up and spoken in front of anybody. I mean, I've said words here and there. And I was kind of fretting over it the week, but the Lord said, just be paid. He said, Phil, be at peace. He said, I want you to be prophetic. So I said, okay, I'm going to be prophetic. I think that's probably why I, oh yeah, Marion, one for you. Okay. You have not yet seen how God is going to use you. Everything that's gone on before, he said, you've asked for a double portion before, and the time is coming that he's going to give you a double portion. I'm sorry, I get passionate. Please forgive me. I don't mean to be. It's just when I start, the Spirit starts settling on me, I get all excited. But Marion, you are going to do many great works, and do not think yourself too old. I know you don't, but don't. You've got a lot left to do, and the Lord knows it, and he wants you to just
come on.
Okay.
Come on.
Keep bringing it. This is the word God gave to me, and I didn't have a title until, well, I kind of did. But this is going to be short and sweet, probably 10 minutes. Maybe more. I don't know. We'll see what the Holy Spirit does. Conflict resolution. It's a theater term. When you write stories, you got to have conflict. And then you got to have a resolution. You have resolution, not revolution. Resolution. This is a word, I believe, for the church. The Lord is saying, embrace your conflicts. Embrace them. Quit whining about them. We can either whine about them or we can win about them. Another thing he said, so I don't forget, he said, quit being afraid and be of faith. Did you get that take on words? Quit being afraid and start being of faith. Kind of a play on words. Instead of fearing the situation and the conflict we are in, we do it subtly. We don't even realize it. Believe me, I'm preaching to myself. This is a message that God is speaking to me. We go through a hard time, and we're sitting here freaking out. And I remember getting so angry at God sometimes, cussing mad. And I will admit, and I ask you to forgive me, I mean, I cussed God out once. Funny thing about it is he looked at he said, Phil, okay, you okay now? I said, you settle down? I got this. It's okay. And the crazy thing about it is 45 minutes from that situation, that whole situation was resolved. And it was a pretty big one. It was a pretty big one. It was incredibly big. I won't get into it. But conflict and resolution. I've got 3 points I want to hit on, and I'm going to hit on them quickly because I know when I'm sitting out there after God has done all the ministering. And if anybody needs ministering, I will be up here. If anybody wants to come up and help me, we'll do impartations because I believe the Lord wants to impart to us the 3 things we need to do to be able to propel ourselves co-laboring with him into what we're called to in 2019. It's interesting what Stacy and it's interesting what Stacy preached last week. Because I was supposed to preach last week, and because my daughter was in town, I didn't really have time to prepare. We spent time, and we just thought as a family it would be better if we just spent time with our daughter. So we pushed it back to this week. But I'm going to just go over what I wrote down last week about what Stacy said. And I came up to him afterward because I said, that's kind of part one of what you said last week. So I'm going to read what I got out of it. How can there be a testimony if nothing bad happens to us? If nothing pushes up against us spiritually, how can there be a victory? If every fantasy book ever written, in every fantasy book ever written, there is a great trial, trials to be overcome. You look at the world. You look at the fiction writers of the world. What are they writing about? They're writing about conflict and resolution. And I'm going to rabbit trail on this because this is what brought this message to me. God told me to start reading fiction again. And as I started reading fiction, I came to a part in the story where I realized that the world has hold of something, or they want to have hold of something that they're writing about. They write about this person. I'll give you an example of a book I'm reading. This guy's a leper. He's an outcast. He's a pariah. But he's an incredible writer. But society just pushes him aside. Well, long story short, he gets translated to another land where he becomes its savior. But he refuses to believe it. And over the span of 9 books, he ends up coming to the place where he accepts who he really is. And he realizes that he was put in a certain position and given certain powers. Now, understand, it's a fantasy book. I mean, we can glean some spirituality out of it. But the idea that was, he ends up overcoming basically the evil that was threatening this beautiful land. This was written by a guy who probably doesn't know Jesus, or written by a guy who probably doesn't know Christ. But yet the seeds of his imagination bring him to this idea that there's something greater, there's something more beautiful, there's something more to attain. And the Lord spoke to me at that moment, and he said, Phil, they're after what you have. They're after what you have. We have. God is, he's into stories. He's into making stories. I believe myself. I'm not saying this is scriptural. It's not. But I believe that there are books in heaven. I think there's a library there. And I think there's books that are written about every one of our lives. And I think that every decision we make, it's added. And every day we live, something's added. And I had to come to the realization that, hey, I should say that I did see a video on Sid Roth where a guy was talking about the library with him, and he ended up getting saved. But he got saved because he went to heaven and is barely saved, and God showed him his book, and it was like a menu, or like a two-sided menu from Waffle House. And he looked at it, he said, this is it. He came back. He was talking to Sid, and he said, man, he said, when I get back to heaven, I want there to be volumes written about me. Now, to get to the point, the point of what I'm trying to make is that every single day we live, we may have conflict. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. He said, in our lives, you'll have trials and you'll have troubles. In your lives, you will have trials. Jesus said it. He said, but don't fear, little children, for I have overcome the world. Now, this is where we get from whining to winning. We have got to start having the faith, and I believe this is the word, and this is the prophetic word that God is saying, to sit down in the conflict. And this is the picture I had. You remember the chairs, when we did the chairs about? Well, I had 2 chairs. One was here. Here's the conflict. Here's the resolution. And I saw Connie sit down in that chair. I just got this when I was sitting over there. And then God lifted her up above the conflict, but she was resting. And then he walked her over to the resolution. You look at the life of David. Do you think he had some conflict?
Yep.
Yeah. Was he a perfect person? Had a horrible family life. I mean, really, he did. But what did he have that God loved about him? He had a heart that was after God. Literally, it means he had a heart that went after God. And he understood something, that while in the conflict, he wasn't going to do anything to mess with God. He was going to partner with God, and either God was going to bring him through it, or he wasn't going to be brought through it. You look at Daniel. Did Daniel have some conflict? Oh, yeah. He had to deal with 3 stupid kings. Really, I mean, Nebuchadnezzar had an anger problem. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, remember them? Did they have some conflict? What I'm trying to get at is, well, let me say more. Joseph, you think he had some conflict?
Yep.
He was accused of rape. Judge Kavanaugh, you ain't got it on Joseph. Believe me. He was put in prison for 2 years. But the thing about the conflict was, it was the conflict that elevated him to the position of leadership in a country that was the most powerful in the world. What I'm trying to say here, what I believe God is trying to say to us is, embrace your conflicts. It's not saying you can't cry. It's not saying you can't say, God, this is killing me. But try and ask God to allow us to see beyond the conflict and into the victory and the resolution of what he's doing. Because there is always, without conflict, there's no growth.
Yep.
Have you ever read a book about somebody who had no conflict?
Boring.
Have you? I don't want to get to heaven and say, I was sitting in my room and I buried my talent, and God said, you know, you wicked servant, you didn't even try. All he was trying to do was avoid conflict, because he said, you were a master who demands a lot, and I knew it, so I was just going to hide. This is, like I said, I'm preaching to myself. This is a message for myself. If it applies to you, it might. Please take it. But God is saying, sit down in the conflict and let me lift you above it and embrace it. And let me give you the eyes to see the resolution beyond the conflict so that you can be victorious.
Come on.
Three things. We have to accept it. This is where I get my 3 points in. Second point, we have to acknowledge that God is in charge of our story. And three, we have to anticipate everywhere God's goodness is in it. Three, I'm going to say again, accept it, acknowledge it, anticipate. Ephesians, turn with me to Ephesians 2, 6, 8. I'm going to read this. I think it applies. Read the scripture, and then I'm going to ask if anybody needs prayer. And it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be real quick, but I think this is the heart of it, and I think God kind of did all the ministering beforehand. And in his fullness, this is the Passion Translation, by the way. I love it. Just an interesting note. I saw a video on a guy who wrote the Passion Translation. Any of you know who I'm talking about?
Yep.
He went to the Library of Heaven, and God gave him a book. This guy was a translator. And he was the guy that helped translate the Passion Translation. And I thought it was real interesting, because he said there, Sid asks him, he says, you know, give me a scripture like that they really kind of might have gotten wrong. You know, that's hard to say it that way. Just that might have been confusing to understand in the English language. He said, husband, submit to your wives as. That's a very confusing, but in the Passion Translation, it says, husbands, be tenderly devoted. Did I say husbands? Husbands, submit to. That's the way it should be, though. Okay, I'm nervous, okay? Wives, submit to your husband as Christ did, or the church. You know what I'm talking about. But anyways, it says, wives, be tenderly devoted to your husbands. I thought that was, that's just a side note. It's a rabbit trail. But anyway, go with me to Ephesians 1 and bear with me, because I'm going to read a lot of it. And his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion and the customs and values of the world, obeying the dark rulers of the earthly realms, who fills the atmosphere with his authority and the work and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts of our minds dictated, and living as rebellious children, subject to God's wrath like everyone else. Just bear with me. I'm going to get to the good part. But God still loved us with such a great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. Hallelujah. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated, one with Christ. If you are going through a conflict, Christ is going through a conflict with you. And I am so thankful for Stacy when he preached the sermon about where God had to walk through the, what was it, the cut meat? What was it? You know what I'm talking about? He sliced the lamb or whatever it was, and he had to walk through.
Sacrifice.
Yeah, the sacrifice. You know what I mean. And he showed us in the Old Testament. Hey, come on. I haven't done this in 15 years. But anyway, we can do nothing without him. We are co-seated in our conflicts with him. And believe me when I say this, we have to come to a place where we accept who we are. We must. Identity. Father's love. But even more than that, and I say this, We need a holy fear of the Lord to realize that everything we do has eternal consequences.
Yep.
And that when our life is written, it's being written right now. They might delete this part from my book, but it's being written. And I remember saying this to Stacy last week. I said, you know, every choice we make is eternal. Mm-hmm. How can there be love if there is no free will to love? Mm-hmm. If God didn't give you a choice and he did it for you, or if he did it for me, how can there be love? There can't be. The world doesn't get that. That's why they call me, well, I won't get political. I'm not going to even get there. I'm not even going to go there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Second point. Acknowledge that God is in charge of the story. He will never fail us. When we read the great stories of the Bible, can you remember the failures? I can. Stacy talked about it last week. The children of Israel had a choice. They had a conflict. They saw giants. But what they saw was defeat. So what I'm saying is, I see giants in my life. And when I was sitting there and you were praying about stuff being lifted, the Lord spoke to me. He said, Phil, it's lifted from you too. And I felt it. I still feel it. Those giants, it's like David said, he had God's perspective when he saw Goliath. He said, you will be meat for the Lord. You cannot come against the living God, because he knew God. He knew his veracity. He knew you couldn't do that. We've got to be people like that who understand God's veracity. We understand who he is. And that he will not let you, Connie, fall to the ground. He knows everything. Every hair on your head. Every gray hair you cover. I'm sorry. Every hair. Wow. Every hair I've lost. He has it counted. There we go. She's going to kill me.
Yeah, I'll help you.
Well, my wife said don't use her as an example. He got his right there. So.
Use yourself.
Let me say again. God will never let us down. And you see, the thing is, God will always push us a little bit past our comfort zone. Because as he pushes us past our comfort zone, what I mean by that is, he wants to push us past what we think we can do. He'll always do that. And you know, when God talked to me about David, he said, do you think David understood me as well as he did by just all of a sudden I came on him and he had it? He said, no. When he was in the field, he was talking to me, he was playing his harp. He was taking down bears and he was taking down lions. He was practicing. Guys, we have to have a practice mentality. I have always practiced preaching in my truck. UPS. I always practice preaching. It's just something I do. It's something I learned from, I think it was Jim Borwick. You remember Jim? He was another church I went to. Said, you always need to practice. Doesn't matter where you are. So I practice preaching in my truck. Never realized that I might do it. And I'll be honest with you, when I told Stacy I had a word and he said, go ahead, I was like, oh, jeez, what did I do? Because there was a point in my life, you need to understand, this is all I wanted to do. But I wanted to do it for the wrong reasons. Now I don't want to do it for all the wrong reasons. I need to do it because God has called me to it.
Amen.
Even Connie verified that. But that aside is God will always bring us to a point where he'll push us past our comfort zone. He'll always do that. He'll do it with worship leaders. He'll do it with preachers. He'll do it with missionaries. He did it with David. I guarantee he's done it with all of us. But the problem is we have got to see that we can't say no anymore. Because I'm telling you, something is breaking in 2019. And I don't say this often. Last year, I didn't feel it. Everybody's saying, this is the year. I didn't feel it. I'm not going to say anything because God holds a prophet to a higher standard. And I don't necessarily want to look like a fool or say something I don't really believe. But I really, really believe something is breaking in 2019. And just, there was a video by John Arnett I saw on Facebook. Some of you may have saw it, about the revival in Toronto, which, by the way, if you don't know, we were born out of. Mm-hmm. He said, the funny thing is, he says, the older folks, they're the hardest ones to convince because they've been through it. They have had hope deferred so many times. It's like, oh, here we go again. And I'm saying, that's me. Here we go again. But God is pushing us past our comfort zone. Believe me when I say this, God will continue through this year to push us a little bit further past our comfort zone. And he's going to say, he's saying, if you are willing to go and push out, I will meet you there. That is the word for this church for 2019. If you are willing to push past your comfort zone and go just a little bit further out, even a little further than that, I will meet you there.
Come on.
Anticipate God's goodness. Because sometimes we might not get it all right. And we might have what is a chance for hope to be deferred, but we don't have to because we know that God is always good. God is always good. He is on the throne. We are not. And if it doesn't work out the way we want it, we need to step back and say, okay, God, I missed it. What are you doing? I just want to reiterate, because I believe this is the key to embrace our conflicts, both individually and corporately. Because the enemy hates this place. He knows the possibilities. He's been through it before. He's seen precursors to revival, and this is a place for that. Because we are willing and we are broken, and we know we can't do it.
Yeah.
And those are the three things that are like tinder to the flame. There's going to come a time we're going to say, wow, how did this happen? And then that will always breed conflict. Get used to it. In this world, you will have troubles. We have to get used to it. But we have got to get past the whining mentality. And again, I'm speaking to myself. I know it doesn't apply to you. And adopt a winning mentality. That God always wins. I know it's old, but we've read the end of the book, right?
Yep.
We only have one life to live, and I pray, and I'm going to end here. I pray that when our books are finished and written, I know Jesse's is, and he's got volumes on him. God bless Jesse. I keep thinking about him. He's got it made. But we have the opportunity, no matter how young Brady, no matter how old Philip, don't point to anybody else, get himself in trouble.
I saw that direction.
I didn't go toward you. I was toward Marion. No, I mean, I'm sorry.
I own it, yeah.
Listen, no matter how young, no matter how old, our story, I don't want to wind up, pardon me for saying, like Solomon, who in his last days, what we remember about him is worshiping other gods. I don't want to wind up like that. I know that I've been through some trials and I've been through some troubles. I know it. I've been through conflict. But when I look back at it, I realize that that rubble is what my life is being built on. And it's no longer rubble. It is a foundation that God has ground into and he's made concrete out of it. And I'm stepping on it now and I've learned from it. And I've grown from it. You cannot grow without conflict. You just cannot. You look at nature. Nature is replete with it. What is that about a baby chick being hatched? If you try to help it, it'll die?
No, that's a what butterfly.
That? Butterfly, yeah, the cocoon, yeah.
It's a baby chick.
Yeah.
Is it?
They've got to sometimes struggle on their own to break through so that they can get to the light. Then they get the help once they break through. Just a thought. Anyway, I don't necessarily think that I need to. If anybody wants ministry or prayer, I mean, it's fine. But I think God did all that already. But listen, when I say this, I sat back there and I just heard God saying, I love this place. I'm accepted here. And one of the things he also said to me is, Phil, they always say it's about me. But, you know, from my perspective, it's not always about me. It's always about you. In God's mind, it's all about us. I'm not saying that it isn't all about God from our perspective. But God looks and he sees beautiful, redeemed, grace-filled overcomers.
Amen.
And this is going to be a year of winning. Lord, I just pray for us tonight. I pray for myself specifically. And I thank you for family. I thank you for Connie and how she deals with me and Marion and my wife and father of family. We're so grateful for family. Father, give us supernatural insight into what you're speaking to us on how to overcome conflict and to sit down in the midst of trouble and rest. Lord, that's what I believe you want to give us. You want to give us rest, not just sleep, not just going to bed, but you want to give us a supernatural rest that we enter into that makes it easier to progress to that next place you're moving. Give us that supernatural rest, we pray, Lord Jesus. To you all the glory. Father, we want to overcome and we want books written about us that are volumes. In your name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.